check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, October 14th, 2021, the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, live from the D. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks for listening. As always, the staples of the show are here. Mikey Palm, the Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, also Derek Stevens, Consigliere. Mikey, you good? Yes?
Good. I'm so excited for tonight.
Because of the baseball game.
Yes.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Me too.
I can't wait.
Dude, I'm going to be a ball of nerves during this.
Mitch said to me, will the volume of the Dodger game be on anywhere on your properties? Oh. I said, well, wherever I am. I'm not sure where I'll be, but it sure is going to be on wherever I am.
You mean Tampa, Philly is not going to be your priority? Mine either.
It cannot be.
It cannot
I might not see too many plays of that game tonight.
Yeah. And by the way, Mike Palm, also the co-host of Odds on VSiN, the sports betting network, of course, with Amal Shaw, weekdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
That's right.
2 in the east, 11 in the west.
Live from Circus. So after this, you race over there.
I run.
You do run?
It's a dead sprint.
Dead sprint. So you see Mikey underneath the zip line sprinting. Todd Wishnev from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, star of Showtime's docuseries Action. How you doing, Toddy?
Hey.
He's not happy. He's not happy. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. Some people are going to appreciate that you just went, hey. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an annual treat. We hope to make it an annual treat. He was kind enough to come on last year as well. This Megapod is the mountain that it is because it was built on this man's shoulders. We know him as Ace. We know him as Giannis or Gianni, pardon me, however he's pronouncing it these days. And of course, we know him as VR Vegas Runner. Ace, how you doing, man?
Never better. All are acceptable. All proper pronouns. I'm good with either or, so we're good. Just help yourself there. We're good to go. And thank you for having me. Again, this is that one show, the NFL show, honestly, even not on it, that I listen to every week, like consistently. Not stroking you because I'm on here, but the information you share, it just keeps you up to date and it's current. And because I'm in the sports betting industry, you have to be current. And again, we take it for granted being in Vegas, point spreads, all that. Like other cities just aren't like that. So to have something like this to depend on weekly, where I know that's what you guys do. You're in the grind 24/7, all day, every day, not just doing this once a week or for a certain season. Again, man, I'm just happy to be a part of it and humbled and privileged to be here, brother.
Dude,
hopefully I got some winners for the listeners and viewers.
Hopefully you got some winners. There's also VR Bingo where people are like, never better, blah, 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 sprinkle a little on the
America,
money line.
Baby. What a country. What a country.
God bless America. All your old things. People, those things live on, man. I still get tweets from people who, again, when they heard that you were on today, already got a couple tweets about it, but sprinkle, people still remember that you were the guy that that made these things famous, and we appreciate it.
On your podcast, we originated Sprinkle.
That's
over
right.
Over a decade ago, Gil. Well over a decade ago. Now it's in the sports betting lexicon.
Everybody uses it.
It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we used to throw that E40 music behind it, too. It was awesome. Great to have you, man. Let's do it.
Thank you.
So we always start with an update from Mike on the Circa Millions contest and on Circa Survivor.
What about the records?
Okay, we'll do the records first. Pardon me. What were the records last week?
We always do the records first, Gilly. That's
okay.
What we always
I'm
do.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I have a mea culpa. But Mikey pulls into first place with his 8-6-1. He was 1-1-1 last week. Because I went 0-3, he goes ahead of me. I'm 7-8 now. He's 8-6-1. And you, Gilly, are pulling up the rear at 5-10.
What did I do? 1-2?
Yeah, 1-2. Mm-hmm. On the teaser side, I'm still in the lead at 5-0. Gilly, you're 4-0-1 because you pushed one of your legs last week.
What did I push?
And the Patriots, I think.
Oh, that's true. I did push him. Yeah. Okay. 4-0-1.
And Mikey is 3-2 on teasers. So really, I mean, the only important thing is how you're doing on teasers, because no one would bet these games pregame anyways. So it's teasers is what's important.
Todd, I would like to go, and I'll ask Gil as well. I'd like to go last on teasers. I'm 2 games behind you, and I can't catch up when you keep copying mine. So I'd like to go after you at least.
That's funny, Mikey, because if I keep popping you, how am I 5-0?
Once you got the lead. Once you got the lead. Once
Mikey,
you got the lead.
How am I 5-0 and you 3-2 then?
Because you were 4-0. I was 2-2. I gave a teaser. You copied it. I could never catch you.
Try again, Mike. Come on. You could do better than that. Should right, I just call you E now? I'll just call you E. Okay.
Wow.
Anyways.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. That was too low. I'd retract. My mea culpa is I thought the Raiders would not be affected by the first email and would play National Football League football. And I took them in my Survivor.
Oh.
And this will go into our next discussion that you're going to bring up as Survivor. And I paid for it, especially when that kid dropped a 65-yard bomb wide open. And it was just not the Raiders' day. So I am out of Survivor. And I guess I will learn to not take a team that has email problems prior to the game. I still contend that Urban Meyer and his team, you know, it's not affected by his lap dances. But anyways, go ahead.
Well, Survivor's a whole nother discussion. But let me just say this, that the fact that Minnesota, New England, and Baltimore all survived miraculously last week is such a testament to how difficult this stuff is to be. That's just to pick one team to win, regardless of spread. That's what you're tasked with every week in Survivor. That's difficult enough to pick, let's say in Circa Millions, five against the spread every week. And somebody's 22-3.
22-3.
God.
I mean, you know, the records were going to be better by the sheer number of entrants, right?
That sure.
It had to be, you know.
Randomness will assure that
correct,
somebody.
Correct, but this is unbelievable. Five guys, 18-2, 22-3. I don't know how long it can keep up. I mean, you and I are looking at the board trying to find three games. Now, Ace loves the board. We struggle to come up with three.
Oh, it's a great board. Great board.
So how many people didn't submit in millions? Only
I don't know about millions. Yeah, only three Survivor this week.
So it's getting better.
Getting better. And really, the Raiders were the only blow. The 54, like Todd, that chose the Raiders. Six Panthers, one Bengals, one Jets. We still have 22-68. But if you brought this point up, this is incredible. If Minnesota doesn't kick the last second field goal, if New England doesn't rally from down 16, if Baltimore doesn't rally from down 19, we'd have 229 left.
Oh.
There'd only be 229 left.
And, you know, I thought I was such a genius for avoiding Kirk Cousins because I can't stand betting on Kirk Cousins. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be a genius here, and somehow Kirk Cousins is going to blow it, and then it doesn't happen.
I kept texting the whole time. With Minnesota, I'm like, this is going to end badly. Even though when they were up 7 or 10, it just never felt right.
I wish, Todd, that I had, you know, a mall on Thursday after we did this, said to me, I think Pittsburgh is really the only Survivor play this week. And I thought he was being funny and, like, misguiding because he's in it. He actually used it. No, he said Pittsburgh is not losing this week to Denver at home.
Denver made it
close.
And
he said, I don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't want, you know, all this. And he made, and I wish I could have told Todd because maybe he'd have taken Pittsburgh instead of the Raiders.
I wouldn't have taken him because he wasn't taking
Big Ben. Okay. All right, so
I was betting against Fields. I was betting against Fields. That's it. I just thought Fields is not good. And you know what? Fields wasn't good.
Fields didn't do anything. Yeah.
It's just that the Bears ran the ball and the Raiders didn't do anything on offense. So, you know what? What are you going
to
do?
All right, before we get to our best bets. Can I talk some
more Survivor?
Oh, please. Yes.
I'd like to ask you this.
You can talk Survivor for an hour.
I'd like to ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Because you talked about misnamed contests.
Mm-hmm.
You've also talked about you don't really try to survive till you get 5 or 6 weeks in, and then
no,
you start.
I only try to survive.
I mean, you don't. Yeah, correct. Yeah. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I'm misstating. Then you get into it.
Yeah.
Is this the point now where you try to use the winner strategy instead of the survivor? Because the last 3 weeks you've been surviving with a consensus pick.
Yeah, but I also think that there's been a little bit of a mix of both because I have taken. So the first 2 weeks I took good teams.
Yeah, but you took some chances early.
Well, I had multiple entries.
Yeah.
On the multiple entries, I took the chances, which, again, is my theory that the multiple entries don't matter. It's just the one that you would play optimally. So the one that I was left with was the one that I played Tampa Bay the first week. I lost all my other entries with the more random picks. I've only played Tampa Bay and Green Bay, good, like, really solid teams, top 10 power-ranked teams in that entry. The rest of it so far is Carolina, Cincinnati, Minnesota, and I think I'm playing with that theme. I'm going to go Indianapolis again this week. And that way, if I get through, and that's a big if with Indianapolis, even though they're a big favorite, I really do think that that entry becomes pretty solid because I've used at least four kind of random teams, and I still have a bunch of top teners left. So I think I'm going Indianapolis just to call my shot now. I think that's how I'm going because I've already used Tampa Bay, and I can use the Rams later, and I think this is the time to use the Colts. Because I'm in the end, I'm
by the way, that was my second. That was my second mea culpa. Carson Wentz, Frank Reich, I always liked Frank Reich, but I thought even Frank Reich can't rehabilitate this idiot Wentz. But he actually looked good on Monday night, so I have to say, you know.
Well, he's looked good once, so you don't need to give the mea culpa just yet.
All right, before we get our best bets, Ace, any thoughts on tonight's game? Are you betting the Tampa Bay-Philly game anyway?
I bet the over. I bet the over 52, and I lean Philadelphia. I haven't gotten to the window yet. I'm hoping it gets to 7.5. That's why I have it. And I'm even considering sprinkling a little bit on the money line. And here's why. We have a winless home team in Philadelphia. They're 0-2. And I've gone back, and Philadelphia's had a pretty good home field advantage. I mean, even going back when they finished in last place in 2016, they were a 6-2 team at home. So they're winless so far. I think that gives you a little bit of incentive. You don't want to keep losing there, obviously. Coupled with Tampa Bay, a little bit of overvalued, I think, coming into this one. The over seems so square, obviously. But just all the metrics point to that side. You have two offenses that are top 10 in yards per play and two defenses that are in the bottom 10 in points allowed. That's like the perfect storm to see over 52. And again, sounds square as anything, but if I've learned one thing being here as long as I have, in the NFL, you can't just play contrarian. The goal is try to get ahead of the market and hopefully have some good luck as well. And I think the Eagles tonight may have that. If Jalen Hurts gets it going and could distribute the ball and not try to, you know, if he's not leading the team in rushing yards and in everything and gets the rest up, I think they could create some problems for Tampa Bay. So for me, I like the over, and I'm trying to get to the window on the birds too.
And maybe a sprinkle on the money line.
Oh, the sprinkle's definite. If I take the 7, the sprinkle's for sure.
Sprinkle for sure.
Is that one of your three picks then, Ace?
No, I wouldn't use it as a best bet. I did back it with my, that's an opinion I backed with my money. I will say that. But I wouldn't call it a best bet, and I want to try to do that for the show. Because I fired. I said, I like this week, win or lose. I keep it real. I'm down this year. Going into this week, I'm down in college football. I'm down in NFL for the year to date, 2021. But, you know, long term, over the last 400 NFL bets, I've gotten lucky. I guess I'm profitable. So I'm hoping that it continues going forward. But I haven't been winning this season, but I feel confident in this week. Take it how you will.
No shame.
We'll get to those better bets.
No shame in being down thus far through the season. Todd or Mikey, any thoughts on tonight at all?
I lean over.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think this, you know, the secondary is so bad at Tampa. Even though Hurts isn't the most accurate passer, I think Philadelphia will score tonight, and I'm going to tease them. Tease Tampa Bay in this spot here because I don't think they're losing. Let me ask you this, Ace. You went back to 2015 or 16 with the Eagles and their home record. In general, in the NFL, hasn't home field advantage dissipated between that time and now?
100%. I used to think standard was 3 points, mm-hmm. and now I'm hard-pressed to give 2 points. I agree 100%. 100%, and I'm not sure if the market's caught up with that. I don't think so. So I think you're right there. There is that loss of value from that perspective as far as home field advantage goes. But I kind of weigh it with that they haven't won there yet. And I know the do doesn't work in sports betting. But again, even bad teams manage to win a home game. Like, you should be able to, the ref should, like, you should have even some good luck. Like, even a bad call should go your way. So, again, you don't want to depend on that to cash a ticket. But it's just hard for me to see a Philadelphia team that's close to 500 on the season and just winless at home for that trend to continue. I don't know. It's difficult to continue seeing that happen.
By the way, last week, Tom Brady against Miami, 30 of 41 for 411, 5 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 2 times. It's his 8th career game with 5 touchdowns and no picks, the most ever in the NFL. His first career game at the age of 44 with 400-plus yards and 5 touchdowns. They outscored Miami 21-0 in the fourth quarter. Tonight, sore thumb, but he says he's a go, Tom Brady. He says no big deal. He's going to play. But they don't have Rob Gronkowski. They don't have Antoine Winfield. There's some others they're missing. Tampa Bay is not at full strength tonight. Anything from you, Todd, on that?
I'm probably going to use the Bucs in my teaser. I'm surprised that Ace said that the Eagles were top 10 in yards per play. If that is true, they are the most Fugazi top 10 I've ever seen in my entire life. They played the Atlanta Falcons.
6.09 yards, exactly 10th offensively, yards per play.
And that's fine. All I'm going to say is I think it's Fugazi because they played at Atlanta and they moved the ball. Very nice. Tip your hat. Everyone moves the ball in Atlanta. Thank you. San Francisco, they played at home, didn't do jack squat on offense. At Dallas, they got a lot of garbage yards that's going into that garbage number. You know, they got a ton of garbage yards at the end in a game they were completely blown out in. Kansas City, everybody moves the ball in Kansas City. Me, Gil, and Mike, and you playing wide out to move the ball in Kansas City. So that throw that out. And then last week at Carolina, they didn't do anything. They blocked a punt at the end of the game and got lucky. So to me, the Eagles... Now, by the way, that being said, I don't disagree with you that the Eagles could win the game and the game could go over, obviously. All I'm saying is I think that to think that the Eagles are the top 10 offensive team in football is just not fair because, as you can see, a lot of this is Fugazi. But with that said, I'll take the Bucs as part of my my teaser later. But anyways,
I'll never
catch
him.
You'll never catch him. You'll never catch him in teasers.
As soon as I said it, he wants it.
I have full disclosure.
Here's the new thing. You see where we're going? The new narrative, Gilly.
Yes.
You see the new narrative? The Mikey Palm. He starts playing, laying the seeds, Mister No Hyperbole, the stealer of the grievances.
Gentile grievances.
Goyim grievances.
Goyim grievances. The I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tied into last Monday night's Baltimore Ravens teaser leg, which was never in doubt. I mean, got completely lucky with it. But that's what I have as a Tampa Bay teaser. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to use it moving forward. We'll see when we get to that. Best bets, our top three. Let's start with our first. Ace, what is your number one spread or totals bet, sir?
The as square as it comes, and I'm going to have to go straight to Monday Night Football because I absolutely love the Buffalo Bills. I jumped on them immediately and laid the five. And this has come from experience, meaning back in the day, I would have never bet a team like Buffalo in this spot. They've scored 30-plus points three straight weeks. They've outperformed the betting market by double digits four straight weeks. That tells me, from everything I know, that you're going to be overvalued, that the betting market is going to add a premium, that if I fade you, I am certain I'm getting more points than I should. And long term, that's the best you could ever hope for as a sports bettor. Doesn't guarantee you're cashing a ticket that night, but guarantees you're going to be profitable long term if you manage risk correctly. With all that said, I have seen certain outliers. I bet long enough to have seen certain outliers. And there are some teams in the regular season that when they get going, they're going to just continue to steamroll opponents. I saw Kansas City do it. I've seen Seattle do it. And now we're seeing Buffalo do it. And back in the day, I got in front of those trains. And all I did was lose money thinking I was getting the best of it. When I found out, looking back, I was taking the worst of it because they were outperforming the betting market, continued to do so. So they proved the betting market wrong. Yes, it's efficient. It's as efficient as it gets. But it's still, we know historically, 10 points off the closing line when it's all said and done. And I think this is one of those teams that they're going to get sharp money fading them. So that's going to eliminate some of the risk for the books. But the public's going to roll on this team and going to keep cashing tickets. And I'm not going to stand in front of it. I'm going to roll on top of them. That's what I've learned betting as long as I have, that sometimes you got to put those old school, you know, rules to the side and realize things change and you got to, you know, be able to adapt. So for me, I saw that immediately and I'm like, that's a game where I would have been all over Tennessee. I would have been certain I got the best of it. So that's why I'm not even going into metrics or any of that on this game. It's simply reasoning. And for me, like, it doesn't make it any more simpler than that. Yes, this team's probably going to be favored more than we think they should. And they're still going to go out there and cover, even though sharps think fading them is giving them the best of it. Because I've seen, like I said, I've seen New England do it. I've seen Kansas City do it. I've seen Seattle do it during the regular season. and I'm watching Buffalo do it in real time, and I'm not going to fade that. You learn from history, or you fail, you know, you're doomed to repeat it. And I paid a lot for my education. I've got a Harvard education, an Ivy League education, the amount of money I've lost to learn how to win. And I'm not losing anymore fading teams like Buffalo.
It's an interesting thing. The game has so evolved since you and I used to do this Megapod back in the day. It is such a, and from a betting perspective for sure, the most interesting Buffalo stat. I don't know if it's the most interesting, but it is an interesting one to me. And they sort of flashed this up quickly the other night when they were crushing Kansas City during the Lightning delay. Buffalo has led at halftime in 14 straight regular season games. Now, when you hear that, you're like, oh, that's interesting. That's an NFL record. That's never happened before. 14, to give it 30 minutes of football, it's one thing to be tied, right? But to lead by the half in 14 consecutive games is also perhaps another way to bet the Buffalo Bills if that...
You're such a big favorite, though, to win the game if you go into the half with the lead. I mean, we know that historically. So, I mean, they're doing everything right. It's just as if they're grasping analytics, like some of these teams seem to be grasping it quicker than others. They know if you jump on your opponent, it puts you in a higher probability of winning. If you take a lead, it puts you in a higher probability of winning. So you see these coaches devising these game plans to jump on opponents. And some teams have been able to do it. We saw Kansas City do it and have such success with it. And Buffalo's copying that same blueprint offensively. And it seems to me like their defense has come around now because they posted 2 shutouts in the last 4 weeks. So, again, it's just a team I don't want to get in front of. Even if they lose this game, there's no reason to fade them when they're rolling like they're rolling.
A lot of people have them power rated number 1.
I do. They were doing this at the end of last year. Remember, in the last 5-6 weeks, they were blowing everybody out, and mostly division games, by 20 or 30. To Ace's point, this was one of the biggest decisions of the year at Circa, was Sunday night. We needed Buffalo. The sharp money was all on Kansas City.
It was on Kansas City.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And real quickly, sorry, not to go long. Yep. That's what I'm talking about. It's that kind of thing, and we're seeing it even with Kansas City, where – now it's like, are people willing to admit, are they not as good as we think, or are they going to keep betting them? But with Buffalo, like you said, we're looking to fade them. Like, wait, this team, they're too hot. They're winning. They're outperforming too much. They're due to regress. I don't see it. You said they've continued it from last season as far as the metrics go. So, again, they're just a dangerous team to get ahead
of. And, Ace,
if
they're going to regress, they might not regress against Tennessee. They
thank
might
you. Well said. Well said, Todd.
Ace, does it give you any pause that this was their worst spot last year? Remember, this was the weird Tuesday night game?
Weird Tuesday.
And it was a house of horrors for them down there. Everything went wrong in Tennessee. The turnovers. And they got, actually, by the middle of the third quarter, they pulled Allen and they just gave up on the game. Remember? Yeah. How does that affect your handicap? Does that make you think they have that game on their mind from last year? Or does it make you think they're thinking about what can go wrong again?
If it wasn't Monday night, I'd be a little bit concerned that they're coming off a big win and they don't have much on deck. They have winnable games ahead. They have Miami. They have Jacksonville. They have the Jets. So it's nothing to really worry about coming ahead. But it's Monday night football. You just beat Kansas City as a dog. Everyone thought you're going to lose that game. You need to showcase your team. If you are legit, you're supposed to show off on Monday night. You're supposed to come out and crush this team, especially after what happened last season. Gives you even more of a reason to show us things. You are now the best team in the AFC. Like, this is good. This is a telling game, even though they're not playing a Tampa Bay. They're not playing a Green Bay. It's still a telling game because, again, you're supposed to be able to win these games coming off a win in Kansas City if you're legit. So for me, that the Monday night, the fact they're playing on under the lights on primetime, coming off a win like that, I think gives them the motivation to keep going, to not have that potential letdown against a team like Tennessee, especially, like I said, with nothing ahead to get excited about.
Mikey, yours, number one.
I thought this game opened wrong with the wrong favorite. With Carolina and the Vikings. I like the Vikings here. It's now Vikings 1. Is that the number, Todd?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll lay the 1 here. I'd lay up to a field goal here. This Sam Darnold is not a winner, okay? He's never won anywhere. He didn't win. They were bad at USC. He didn't win with the Jets. They beat the dregs of the NFL this first three games, right? The what Carolina played early with Houston.
Not Denver dregs, but still dregs.
They're similar. Yeah. I mean, and you can only play, but they're not good. I mean, look, they couldn't put up any points against Philadelphia in the second half last week. They had so many chances to extend the game, and they hung around. I still think this Vikings team is a playoff team. I know it's Kirk Cousins. I know Todd doesn't like Kirk Cousins. It's hard to trust Kirk Cousins. But look, and they play, if you go back and look at them in the Cousins era, they play better on the road on grass. They play very well. They played very well at San Diego last year. I like this team when they get outdoors and on the grass. I think they're better. I don't think Carolina has much offensive punch here. I think the Vikings are appreciably better on offense. I can't see them losing this game, really, even though it's a road spot. They got to stay in this race in the NFC North. And to me, this is clearly the best play on the board this week.
That Vikings game, for those who missed it, for those of us who had Survivor, we'll not soon forget it. Vikings up 16-9. They're trying to milk the clock. There would have been about 120 left for the Lions to try to go downfield for a touchdown. Instead, an Alexander Mattison fumble after they didn't call forward progress. He gets stripped. Lions touchdown. Then Dan Campbell goes for two and gets it. But five plays, 46 yards later in 37 seconds. Greg Joseph from 54, Vikings win.
What do you make the number, Gil, at the point that Detroit's kicking off to Minnesota with 37 seconds? I think it's like a pick'em at that point, whether the Vikings are going to kick a field goal. Then,
well, you have it as a pick'em at that point.
Then,
really?
Why, you think the Vikings are favored to get a field goal?
Oh, dog.
Well, I think they became a dog because, remember, they kicked it short of the goal line, and they spent 6 seconds, only got back to the 15.
They played it right, Detroit.
They played it exactly right, but then they allowed the big pass down the middle, and it all.
Well, the problem is they had two timeouts left, which is it's a very different game when you have 31 seconds and two timeouts versus 31 seconds and no timeouts. That's a gigantic difference. The Vikings had more chance than you would have otherwise thought. But still, at the 15-yard line, I think they're a dog at 31 seconds.
I didn't say at the 15. I said before the kickoff.
Oh, okay, before the kickoff. Fair enough. But the two timeouts was a huge thing because it means they can throw it over the middle a couple times. That's huge, obviously.
It's still Kirk Cousins.
And it's still Detroit.
And it's still Detroit.
Sadly for them, yeah. Todd, you're first.
My first pick, it's very interesting. I liked what Ace said because I think a lot of sports gambling is always, will the streak continue or will the regression happen? That's a lot of what you're going to do if you get into nitty-gritty sports gambling often is what am I, you know, most of the teams in the NFL are going to finish between, 7-9, 6-10, in the 16-game season, not in the 17-game season, but against the spread. They're going to be very close to the average, most of the teams. So there are going to be the outlier team that just steamrolls. And my pick is going to be similar to that in the sense that I'm going to go over 55.5 in the Chiefs game. Now, you might say, well, wait a second, but the Chiefs go over every single week, so you're paying a premium to bet them over. But the thing is, on the over-unders, I find it even more. I don't know if you find it even more, Ace, but I find it even more that the regression often doesn't happen. A couple years ago, I was on Gil's show a bunch of times in 2019, and I kept hammering Tampa Bay to the over, Tampa Bay to the over, Tampa Bay to the over. Jameis Winston would give you a touchdown on his side, and their defense was horrible, and they would go over every single week, and it didn't matter how high they made it. I think that's what's going on with the Chiefs in this football season, because the Chiefs are the greatest over concoction that you could create. The best offense, or at least the top three offense, and a defense that's worse than 32nd. I put them at 37th in DVOA. Mm-hmm. I put a bunch of college teams ahead of them, and then they're 37th. But the Chiefs are not a legitimate NFL defensive team. So they're going to give up points. Taylor Heineke's not that terrible. He can move you down the field and get you points. Look, if the Eagles can get 30 points against the Chiefs and get some backdoor touchdowns, why can't the Redskins do or the Washington football team do it? The Washington football team can do it, and you know the Chiefs are going to score this week. After they got embarrassed last week, you know they're going to score. So mark them down for 38, and how many do I need to go over 55.5 after that? Whatever it is, 55.5 minus 38, that's 17.5. Give me Washington for more than that, and I get the over 55.5. Thank you very much. I'm 1-0.
KC allowed 436 total yards to Buffalo on Sunday night, but minus 4 in turnovers did them in. By the way, I don't know if you heard Rick Doc Walker on Lombardi Someone told me, so it was like, hey, Rick Doc Walker was on Lombardi. He's an old Washington football teamer, won Super Bowls with Joe Gibbs. And he is he still is very tied into the Washington football team. And he was just going off on that defensive line. And specifically, without saying his name, he was going off on Chase Young. And basically saying, it's all ego. Like, these guys only care about their specific role. They're not playing team defense. And he's flying by the quarterback. Lombardi always talks about no one likes flying back past a quarterback more than Chase Young. It's just, I don't know if they can get it together. This defense is terrible.
But Gil, wouldn't you, let's say you're on a mediocre football team. You're going to play for 2 or 3 years. The average length of your NFL career is 2 or 3 years. You've got to cash in immediately right now. This is your only opportunity. I know we say, oh, we got to do it for the team, got to do it for the team. It's BS. These guys aren't stupid. They know they're a brand. They know that they only have a couple years to play. I'd probably do the same thing. Now, you know, you want to say that that's horrible, and that's not what we were led to believe here in America. You play good for the team. But let's be realistic. These guys aren't stupid. They know if I get more sacks, I get more money.
Right, but you may be right is the point. But what he was saying is, and it's a great point about those Super Bowl teams that were coached under Richie Pettibone, which is Washington had a guy, Dexter Manley, back in those days that did his own thing, right? And sometimes it would get you 3 sacks on a drive against Phil Simms. He was just unbelievable. But he played his own defensive concept. It was Dexter doing Dexter. And you had other guys like Rich Mallott and like Darryl World Grant, who knew what Dexter was doing and almost made up for it. Right? Like, they were playing with that kind of thinking, and you just don't get that from these guys, you know, today, as talented as that Washington front four is, and it is talented, but that secondary is brutal. And if the defensive front is not pressuring the quarterback consistently and getting to him, they're in trouble, and Patrick Mahomes may score a million points on him.
They got 2 turnovers off Jameis right off the bat and couldn't do it. I mean, and couldn't pull away in that.
The Hail Mary was like, you're literally watching that, you're like, You guys didn't jump for that ball? No one jumped for it? It's unbelievable how ridiculous that was at the end of the first half. My first pick is the Los Angeles Chargers. On Guessing Lines with Chrissy on Monday, this was the line that made no sense to me. That was before the Ravens played Monday night. I guessed a pick 'em. This was at that moment Ravens -3.5 even. And I just thought that was ridiculous. It's Ravens, I guess, -3 still. In most spots, maybe there's 2.5. Either way, give me the Chargers. Every time Brandon Staley opens his mouth, I fall deeper in love. Like, this guy is, to me, he's the best coach in the NFL. I said it last week on the show. I cannot be talked off this position. And I think Justin Herbert, besides Patrick Mahomes, is the guy to start an NFL franchise with. That defense, by the way, they do play team defense. They know what their strength is. They know what their weakness is. They play a cover 2. They know that that's their identity. I think they can outscore anybody. And Baltimore, even in victory, even in that comeback win over Indianapolis, did nothing to let me think that they're that great of a football team. Give me the points. What is it, 3 or 2.5, Todd?
We'll give you the 3. It's probably closer to 2.5. We'll give you the 3.
He's giving me the 3. Chargers +3. That's my first pick. Ace number 2. Oh, are we snaking this? What are we doing? Are we snaking? Todd, you want
to go first? Go first.
Go first, Todd. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that same football game. I'm going to go over 49.5 in the Browns against the Chargers. I really like
it's the Chargers.
What game
are
you?
They're playing Baltimore.
I'm sorry. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Browns against the Cardinals.
Oh, different game.
Different game.
Not the same game. Different game.
Not the same game.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about last week's game. I'm sorry. The Browns, I just kept watching Kareem Hunt and the other guy just run for like 1,000 yards. Cleveland against Arizona. I want the over 49.5. Arizona, to me, is also a very overish team this year. They're scoring 1 billion points. Cleveland gave up 47, I think, to the Chargers last week. I think Cleveland's defense is pretty good, but, you know, this Kyler Murray guy, They're very good on offense, Arizona. I really like what they're doing on offense. And you only have to go over 49.5. On the other side of the ball, I don't know how Arizona's going to stop Cleveland from running because, you know, I don't know. Have you guys seen this Twitter stuff where Brian Baldinger puts up these the all 22 and then he goes through, like, what different plays, almost like they used to do on NFL Live? I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I haven't, but I'd like to, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. But anyway, he's showing like some of the running plays against the Chargers last week with the Browns getting just gigantic holes. I really realistically think the over-under on a prop for me at fullback for the Browns right now is probably over 58.5 because the holes are so big. You can just drive a Mack truck through them. I think Cleveland's going to move the ball. I think Arizona's going to move the ball. Arizona in another shootout game. Give me over 49.5.
Let me interject, though, Todd. I don't know if you're aware of this. So yesterday, Chubb and Hunt not practicing. And on defense, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett both with injuries that they have to
take
to.
Well, that's good for me.
That part is good for you. But the offensive part is not good for you. So
here's the thing. The one position that I don't care if I have injuries at is running back, because I feel that the reason Hunt and Chubb are running, now granted they're good backs, but the holes that they're getting to run through are so massive.
Yeah,
I mean they're just. It reminds me of Terrell Davis. Do you remember when Terrell Davis was with Elway and they would hand him the ball and he would just have like huge caverns to run through, and they're just running the ball. I don't care who they give it to. They give it to Mike Palm in the backfield. He's going to run for 100.
Well, they had in defeat last week against the Chargers, they had 531 total yards, 230 rushing, to your point, Todd.
36 minutes of possession in the loss.
36 minutes. And the first team since the 89 Bengals with 150-plus rushing yards in each of their first five games of a season.
Icky Woods.
Icky. That was the 89. Yeah,
yeah, 89 Bengals, right?
I was saying on Guessing Lines, the only thing I remember about that 89 Bengals team is Washington played them the last game of the season. It was one of Joe Gibbs' few non-playoff seasons, and Jamie Morris carried the ball 45 times against them for Washington. That's all. He was like, let's just get out of here. Go ahead, Jamie. Carry the rocket.
But by the way, and it's not a Fugazi stats. These are not Fugazi stats. Watch the games.
Yeah.
The Browns are running through holes that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You don't see that in the NFL.
Todd, you said you really like this Arizona offense. Did you like them not scoring for three quarters against San Francisco after they got up 10-0 and did nothing?
Detail?
I mean, do you think that Kyler's starting to take – he's a little man that your friend Michael Lombardi calls him the mayor of Munchkinville. He's starting to show a little bit of wear and tear, and it's early in the season, but they're not what they were early.
Okay. I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
One game, they score 17 points, and you go to – they scored 37 points at the Los Angeles Rams. They're supposed to be the vaunted Los Angeles Rams. They scored 34 against Minnesota. I mean, come on.
That was one of the great reactions ever.
Okay.
On the show.
Okay.
Okay. What's number
Look,
two
you got to make a pick, Mikey.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
It's number two.
Mate. I'm going to take the I'm forced to make two more picks. I'm going to take the Cowboys. And lay the 3.5 here. Boy, this New England defense looks so slow in that game. They just look. I mean, they made Davis Mills look like John Elway there from Stanford. No, but they did. I mean, they looked like Houston had a formidable offense. They just came from Buffalo where they scored 0 points
Can't
and
believe they
had
lost.
80 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're just not good. And now you're going to take on a Dallas team. Dak's got all these weapons. I mean, I think Dallas is going to score a ton of points in this game. And here's to Todd's point about New England, the dinking and the dunking. And the, I mean, when you have to play to have 14, 15-yard drives, the holding penalty stops it. And the likelihood of a turnover. And Dallas is so good at creating these turnovers. I think Dallas has a big upper hand in this game. And I think this number's short.
I can't argue with it. What's that Houston spread against the Colts?
I have Houston against the Colts. I see 10.
3.5, yeah.
You see 10, Todd? Is that where we're going, 10?
Yeah.
I see 10s mostly.
Okay. Well, I'm taking Houston.
Yeah.
I'm taking Indianapolis and Survivor. Here's how I know Houston's going to cover, because I'm doing that. And so I know it's going to be close. Listen, I'm not racing to the window to bet Houston plus 10. I'm not going to give the impression that I am super excited about that. But on principle, the Indianapolis Colts should not be 10-point favorites against anyone. Should not be. And I don't trust Carson Wentz. I don't trust that team in any situation. And Houston really did show me something last week For goodness sake, if they had Tyrod Taylor, they may actually win a few ball games. But they don't, and it is Davis Mills, and I do expect Indianapolis to win. But I expect it to be far more of a sweat than is imagined. And they still have Brandon Cooks. He's like the one real football player on that team. I just don't get the sense from the Colts that they are in any way. And Carson Wentz does a few things every game where he's spinning whirling dervish and Jameis Winston style. He just tries to do something with it. And I'm like, when did he start doing that? So I think that comes into play in this game. I just think it's too many points. The Colts should not be 10-point favorites against anyone. Give me the 10 points on principle. It's like Ace was talking about, just sort of the Malcolm Gladwell blink thing. I don't have any super analysis other to say, like, give me all of them points. And if you can beat me, Indianapolis, and cover that, tip of the cap. I don't think they do. Houston, number two. Ace.
Well, Green Bay's getting steamed right now. They just got hit in my accounts at -4.5. That's going up to 5, 5.5 soon, if anyone out there is paying attention. But here's my pick. I wish you wouldn't have snaked, because I'm opposite of Todd. And now that worries me, because he's
really
on the show. Like I said, I'm down for the NFL season. But I went under 50, and I know it's 49.5 now, and that wouldn't change my mind. I still think it's plus EV. Here's why. Hear me out. I just think this is the perfect storm for an under. The books have done a really good job of pricing the totals for both of these teams. They knew coming into the season that Arizona offense was going to score and the Cleveland offense was going to score. The question with Cleveland was, did they do enough on the defensive side of the ball in the offseason when they picked up those free agents and through the draft? That was the question. The offense was already set. So the fact that we're going into week 6 and they're 5-5 combined over and under, meaning you haven't made money betting the overs on these teams combined. The books have done a very good job. I pay attention to that because that tells me they have a really good grasp of these teams. They're not beating them. They're not hurting them. A team like Arizona that's 5-0 straight up, 4-1 ATS, and bettors are betting them every week, for them to be 2-3 towards the under tells me the books have a really good grasp of this team as far as total goes. And they're managing that risk really well. And I think with this game, 50 was too high. 49.5 is still too high. And here's why. Yes, the offenses are potent, but it's the defensive side of the ball that's not getting enough credit. And some of the reason for why these teams are where they are. I mean, you look at now scoring defense, Arizona's 6th in the NFL. Cleveland's 11th in the NFL in scoring defense. Usually that's not the case when you're lighting up the scoreboard. Just think, Kansas City, they didn't have a top scoring D. Why? Because when you're up 40 points, how much effort can you possibly put on the defensive side of the ball? The teams are more or less just throwing all the time. Anyway, make a long story short, that's very impressive that their defense is holding teams like that, even though they're crushing. And then it's not just on the scoreboard. You dig a little deeper and yards per play. They're really shutting these teams down. Another situation where Cleveland's a top 10 defensive yards per play team and Arizona's just outside the top 10. So as dangerous and the narrative is, you know, lethal they are offensively, it's on the defensive side of the ball, I think, that they don't get enough credit. And what Gil touched on stuck out to me a lot also, just how many players are questionable or injured on both these teams offensively. For Arizona, you got Murray questionable, Edmonds, Hopkins, Daniels, Hudson out. I mean, the fact they're questionable tells me they're not 100%. And then on the Cleveland side, both running backs with Chubb and Herb, they're both questionable, so they're banged up. And even though the wide receivers, if you look at those skill positions, if one of those guys, God forbid, twists an ankle, they're in a lot of trouble. Two of their three backup wide receivers are on injured reserve. So this team, again, on the offensive side, aren't all that deep, and we're getting into the part of the season where injuries start to matter, weather's going to start to play a role, especially on the East Coast, especially on the cold weather cities. To me, I just, this one screamed of perfect storm for value on an under. So I bet it, but again, the fact that Todd faded me doesn't make me all that confident.
Oppo.
First, I don't bet a lot of pregame bets on NFL, Ace. So
okay.
So you shouldn't be too worried. But okay. The only thing that I would say about that is Cleveland played well defensively at Minnesota. I'll give them credit for that. They played well against the Chicago Bears. I'll give them no credit on that. And they played well decently against Houston and weren't really playing that well when Tyrod Taylor was in the game on defense at all. And they didn't play well against Kansas City. And last week against the Chargers, I do believe they gave up almost 50 points. So maybe they're a little bit not as good as everyone thinks they are. And then, you know, on the Arizona side, Arizona gave up 33 to Minnesota. They played Jacksonville.
I think the Chargers got some luck in that game with some calls and these fourth down. And I mean, I don't know that the Cleveland defense is as bad as the final score indicates. Remember that game against Minnesota. Minnesota had that long drive to open the game. They scored on fourth and goal. They never got back in the red zone at home. Yeah. The offensive team.
Against the Lions? And how many did Minnesota score against the Lions? Minnesota is not this juggernaut offensive team anymore. I don't see them as, you know, stopping them as – well, look, we'll see. Obviously, that's what makes it fun. But you can make the argument both ways. All I'm saying is I think sometimes the Browns are a little bit overinflated on defense.
Since we talked about home field advantage, just sort of like the macro things that have changed betting the NFL, the other thing is that injury report stuff. Like, so I do primetime action with Matt Brown, who, by the way, was 3-0, 1-0 teaser when he was on the show.
Was it Rufus last week? 3-0 and lost the teaser?
Wait, I'll tell you. Rufus was Saints minus 2, he won. Okay. Bengals plus 3 was a push.
Okay, 2-0-1.
Pittsburgh was a win. He had Browns in Seattle, so he did not win his teaser.
2-0-1.
Because he got Geno Smith.
He got Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is the injury report stuff. I do primetime action with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin on MSG Plus Monday through Friday night. Our Friday night show, for 3 hours, I'm not even kidding, like maybe 2 hours and 45 minutes of it, is nothing but going through NFL injury reports. Because if you don't have that information, this is all nonsense. Like, it's amazing how much now teams have cluster injuries in a way that they never did before. I don't know if it's because we lost one preseason game and the injuries happened quicker. I think it's been going on for a couple years now. Like, fantasy players will tell you this. It's like, oh, my team's decimated. It's week 3. So it's always huge to know, because a lot of big names appear on these things.
Which is why in-game is the way to bet the National Football League.
That's right.
Because if you know that there's injuries, guess what? See, here's the thing I don't like. You go on ESPN, they go, oh, there's so many injuries. They don't tell you that the second stringer is good or the second stringer is bad. You don't know. But you watch the game. Now you watch the first 20 minutes of the football game, and you get to see, are the cluster injuries hurting them? Or are the cluster injuries not hurting them? And now you have all so much more information. So I don't know why people don't want to bet in-game, but to me, it's the only way to go.
Ace, before you give your third pick, you still doing UFC stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do the Contender Series show every Tuesday, Dana White's Contender Series. And then, you know, I do the show for Fight Pass. We're on our third season, and I do that pretty much once or twice a month. We do a show. Yeah, I'm still with them. I'm only like the last year of my contract, so we'll see what happens after that.
Love it.
I'm having a great time. It's been a great ride.
I didn't want to go through the whole show without plugging your UFC stuff.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
What's your number 3?
All right. I'm going to share this one because I kind of have an opinion on the side and the total, so you kind of get a little bonus pick in there. But I'll go to the side as the pick, and here's why. Because I'm going against even one of the groups that I move for that bet the Miami Dolphins. But they bet them at minus 3, and they're one of those groups that they do really good at getting out ahead of the market and knowing which direction it's going to go. So I think it was a case of them believing it's going to go to 3.5, if not 4, because it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm not afraid there's a little bit of sharp money against me. Here's my bet on the Jaguars. It's not a bet on Jacksonville. I am fading the Miami Dolphins, and hear me out. This is my only argument that they have no business at all, the Miami Dolphins, being a favorite on the road against anybody at all. If you look at Miami so far this season, they've been a dog every single game except once at home against Indianapolis, and they lost that one by double digits. So this team number one has no business being a favorite, let alone a road favorite against anyone.
This is a London game.
It's in England.
Yeah, it's a London game.
Right. Regardless, I got you. But I'm saying that they're even favored anywhere on the planet. Even in Mars, this team shouldn't be favored over anyone at all. Now, you look at the Jacksonville side, all right? Underperforming just as expected. But why, where in the metrics, other than strength of schedule, should Miami be a favorite? I look at yards per play. The only team worse than Jacksonville on the offensive side of the ball is Miami. The only team worse than Jacksonville on the defensive side of the ball is Miami. If I look at, how do you win football games? Scoring. Points scored, points allowed. Offense, defense. The only team worse than Jacksonville that's scored less, Miami. The only defense that's allowed more points than Jacksonville is Miami. So why in what world is Miami favored over Jacksonville? It makes absolutely no sense, except that they're a one-win team against a winless team. And personally, I think the winless team, if anything, has incentive and motivation to not remain winless. Like, to me, that's something you can't quantify, obviously. So that's one of those edges I think is a better that is impossible for the odds maker to factor into the price. But I think if I'm a winless team, that's got to give me some kind of motivation, man, to like just get that monkey off your back. You got to get a win, and then it don't matter after that. For Miami, this has just been a disappointing season because they came in, they beat the New England Patriots as road underdogs. And then what happened? The wheels have come off, and now they're looking at, no, they're going nowhere. You're not making the playoffs. You're not catching up in the AFC East. So for me, it's just a spot where I'm not betting Jacksonville. Again, Jacksonville's a terrible team, arguably the worst team in the NFL. They're not the lowest on my power ratings, but I'm sure on a few they are, and I couldn't argue it.
Ace, does it give you any pause that it could be Tua here this weekend and not Jacoby Brissett?
No, because what's the drop off? Like, and that's what I want to touch on. In Seattle, Pittsburgh, I won't take that time now, but let's touch on that Sunday night game before we go, even for 20 seconds, because that's such a big line move from switching favorites over the quarterback spot. But to me, it doesn't matter who's the quarterback in this situation because neither of them are elite. So the drop-off isn't all that significant. You're not going from Aaron Rodgers to a number three. You're going from a number three to a number three. Like, where is the drop-off? So to me, like that, all that is noise. None of it's signal for me to run and back Miami and fade Jacksonville. Again, I just, it's the kind of bet where it just doesn't make sense to me. Even if Miami goes out there and wins by three touchdowns, there's nothing in the metrics that convince me that Miami should be favored. Again, even though it's Jacksonville, especially through a key number of three. To me, that's ridiculous. Like, we know how important three is.
All right.
And for Miami to be above that now with 3.5s hanging out there makes no sense. I also bet the game over. Again, two bad teams. You got to look at the over. You're going to give up points. It takes a lot more effort. We've gone over that a million times. No reason to revisit it. But the reason
the Jags might actually make it from fourth and goal at the half yard line one of these days too.
And this is probably the week. And I didn't use it as a bet because I bet over 45.5, 46, and I think it's up to like 47, 47.5. But you can still get 3.5 minus 120 right now in Jacksonville. And I think that 3.5 is going to be even money by Sunday. For some reason, I think bettors are going to bet Miami. I don't know why. I like the Jacksonville side.
Miami last week snapping their streak of 26 straight games with a takeaway. Jacksonville, the second team in NFL history to lose 20 straight. Tampa Bay in 76-77.
Ace, do you have a play on the Sunday night game? I know you love Pete Carroll as a game planner, one of the great coaches.
Here's what I wanted to touch on, that I've now lived here long enough, been betting long enough, Mike, and Gil knows this. Mm-hmm. I've lived through the outliers. I've lived through fading the narrative. And the old school me would have sat back and said, let them bet up Pittsburgh and I'm going to go in and take the best of it with Seattle, because the public, the squares are going to overreact and think he's worth more to the betting line than he is. So I'm going to get the best of it. I'm going to have a ticket in my pocket that's 2 or 3 points better because they're stupid and I'm smart. Here's what I found out, that I'm not as smart as I thought I was, because over the last 2 decades or so of betting, I've seen outliers on teams, that the drop-off is that significant. I've seen Aaron Rodgers do it in Green Bay, where we thought he was worth 5 points, then 6 points, then 8 points, and the books found out he was worth a lot more to his team than we ultimately thought. And I saw that happen, and they continued to cover spreads. And I think it's one of those situations where you just have certain players that really are worth more to the betting line than even reason and metrics makes us arguably conclude they are. Because, again, we all know nobody's work should be worth more than a touchdown to a betting line. We know no non-quarterback is.
When Geno's your backup, though, when Geno's the backup, sometimes
you are. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And even though the QBR right now of Russell Wilson isn't off the charts, he's still so much better and just such a big part of this team that it's so difficult to quantify in points what he's worth.
I love
that's the problem. That's why the old me, I'd have been all over the Seattle side. I'd have sat back and bet Seattle and thought I had the best of it. But like I said, I've been here long enough not to get trick rolled, and I've been here long enough not to get sit there and take a five.
But Ace, here's something that not,
think
the
I'm
market
the
doesn't
best
know.
Of it because Russell Wilson ain't worth 7 points to the betting line. He ain't worth 7 points to the betting line. He's probably worth more than 7 points to the betting line.
By the way, especially around.
Otherwise, I'm passing. It's Pittsburgh or pass because I'm not trying to be the smartest guy in the room anymore.
By the way, especially when it's around it, when it's a small number as well, the numbers are even worth more. But well, the one thing you. That's not in the line right now is that I'm going to the game in the club seats.
Oh.
And depending on what my bet is,
boy.
I don't be rather vociferous. And, you know, when a guy as loud as me is
tweet
in the stadium.
Tweet that out as a public service announcement.
That Yeah, least. That's like a, well, I, once I make my in-game bet, you know, probably early second quarter, I will tweet it out.
The
and
PSA.
Then people realize that's worth at least a half a point.
Let me jump in here because that, and we did not plan this, that is my third bet. I am on the Pittsburgh Steelers minus the points. So much of what you said, Ace, I don't need to repeat. I love the point you're making about how you think differently now. It is Geno Smith, Russell Wilson targeted for a week 10 return for the Seahawks. I have said many times on a numbers game, if not on this podcast, I think I didn't say it on this pod, but on a numbers game rather, where I said, I don't know when the day's coming when Russell Wilson can't put on his cape and save Pete Carroll from his own devices, whether it's by injury, whether it's by age, whatever it is. And it happened that when that day comes, the Seahawks are going to fall off a cliff. And Geno Smith was great in relief. He was really good. He was the other night. We have to give him credit for that. But even Big Ben, who did get the ball out there for 253 yards this last week, Najee was great, 23 for 122 on the ground, Claypool, 5 for 130 in a touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 2 for 72 in a touchdown. I just think even Big Ben in that offense is going to be able to cover this because I think that Seattle defense ultimately is going to be on the field a lot because Geno's going to have a lot of short drives, a lot of three and outs, as good as he played the other night. I will take Pittsburgh as my number three pick.
But Pete Carroll's a defensive mastermind.
Mastermind. You're number three.
I'm going to go Chargers Ravens over 52. This Ravens defense is not good. We think, well, maybe they're good because Denver didn't score against them, but Petty was out in the second half in that game as well. I don't think the Chargers will get stopped too many times in this game. And I'd like to see Baltimore get behind and Lamar have to throw the ball around the field. That will be good for the total as well. I think this Charger team is legitimate, and we'll find out going on the road, going east, playing outdoors, playing on grass if they are, but I really do believe they are, and I think the Chargers put up 35 or more themselves.
Chargers 26 fourth quarter points last week, fourth and two at their own 24 down 14 with 10:34 left in the third quarter, but Brandon Staley's like, I don't care if we lose by 100, we're going for it. I love that. 9-yard gain. They matriculate the ball downfield. Then they go for two to cut it from 8-6. And then they had a later one where they eschewed the field goal. And they're like, nope, we're going for it again. Down 14, and they got it done. One of these days they won't convert one of those fours, but so far, so awesome. Todd, your last one.
My last one is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals game versus Detroit. I'm going under 47.5. I think the Bengals are a sneaky, decent football team on defense. I've seen them play. They played Green Bay, played very well defensively last week, hung in the game. Pittsburgh, they shut down. They shut down the Bears. Well, who cares? Everyone shuts down the Bears. They played decently against Minnesota. I just think they're the kind of team, they have a pretty decent defense. Detroit has done nothing to show me offensively that they can be great except between the 20s. When you get inside the 20s, all of a sudden Detroit can't get the ball in the end zone, you know, unless it's the last minute of the game. The Detroit really, you know, Goff is killing them inside the red zone. 17 against Minnesota, 14 against the Bears, 17 against Baltimore, 17 against Green Bay. Throw out the San Francisco game because they got all those touchdowns late. Detroit, and they're also running the ball. They got that coach with the, oh, we're going to run the football, yeah, because we're going to be tough. We're going to eat change dollars for lunch, and we're going to run the football. So Lions are going to run the ball. I think Cincinnati is a sneaky, decent defensive team. And to me, this game could be 27-20, and I get even 27-20, I still get under 47.5. So I just think Cincinnati's a little bit better on defense than people realize, and Detroit's really not that good on offense. So I'll go under the 47.5.
It's tough. We were trying to do our power rankings, our top 10 power rankings the other day, both on primetime and on ANG. And once you get past 11, you're like, it's a cliff. And you're like, who's 12, Cincinnati? Like, maybe. Because you can't really come up with it. Carolina, Cincinnati, one of those kind of teams. All right, teasers of the week, because Mikey's got to go do odds on with them all at Circa.
Mikey wants me to go before him on teasers because he thinks that I'm somehow gaming him.
Yeah, all right, Bucks and who, Todd?
Bucks and L.A. Chargers. I think the L.A. Chargers are not going to lose by more than 9. Give me L.A. Chargers plus 9. Give me Bucks minus 0.5.
Do you want me to jump in?
That's fine.
He took one of mine. I'm on the Chiefs and the Chargers as mine. Chiefs and Chargers. Chargers, not at all. We don't want to get tweets from people. Oh, it's not a Stanford Wong. Well, either is the Chiefs, by the way. But Chiefs, Chargers for me. Tease the Chiefs down to basically beat Washington. Chargers give me 9 points to work with against Baltimore. Ace before you?
Yeah,
Ace, go ahead.
And I'm glad you cleared that up because the Wong teaser has been absolutely crushing it this season.
Yes.
If you just waited and picked those apart, you've done a lot of damage. And this week, even with the lines moving, there's none have opened up. I mean, the only one you could possibly categorize right now would be the Chargers, the Baltimore at 2.5, taking the Chargers up to 8.5. But there really isn't no reason to tease. Again, I'm a true believer of just trust the math. And if you have something that's plus EV, don't reinvent the wheel. Like, you know, if you tease through 3 and 7, that's where you're getting the value. If the opportunity isn't there, why tease? Just lay the minus 110. You're not increasing your odds by taking the 6. The math has already been done by guys smarter than all of us. Like, the quants figured that shit out, that if you tease through these numbers, it's worth doing it. If you don't, then don't. But for action and because we're grading, I have a gamble in me like everybody else. I'm not in this industry by accident. So I'm going to toss in my teaser, and this is a way to share another pick. Kansas City, because I laid the 6.5, so why not take them down to minus 0.5? And I'm going to add, you already know I like Buffalo. That's too easy. So let's add Pittsburgh. Let's confirm that Pittsburgh.
All right.
They don't get much. Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh plus a point, plus a half. Again, these aren't plus EV by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a lot of fun and it's action. As long as you know that when you walk through the window, there's nothing wrong with placing it. But if you're investing that way, then you got to take a step back, man, and actually, like, think of what you're doing.
I could
help you actually getting the best.
I could have used Pittsburgh too, but somehow I didn't conclude it in my teaser.
I'm going to use, because I have to go oppo Todd to try to gain ground.
You're also chasing me, my friend.
It's not.
I'm the guy to beat.
Gilly, he's not worried about you.
I'm the guy.
I'm honestly not worried. I'm not really worried about you. I'm gonna go Bucks Chiefs for mine to go opposite of Todd, or not opposite, but use one. You know, Ace, I received a telegram from a former listener, and he said, "Ask Ace if he has a Patrick Mahomes member size update."
Actually, people have not been hanging on it in a while. Fortunately, they hung on it for so long. He's got a lot to spare. But it's been a while since they pulled on it for him, unfortunately.
All right. Final two questions. Ace, you remember these. Which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright in your opinion? We usually do this at 6.5 and higher. Here are your candidates this week of the possible ones to lose. Tampa Bay, -6.5 or -7 at Philadelphia. That is tonight on Thursday night. Kansas City, -6.5 on the road at Washington. Indianapolis, -10, -9.5 at home against Houston. Rams, 10-point favorites on the road against the Giants. Those are the candidates. Who's the most likely to lose outright, Ace?
Oh, you made this so easy for me. I'm already sprinkling and just waiting for see if it gets to 7.5. Give me Philadelphia. Give me the Eagles at plus money. Ah. And that's a nice money line. The last I saw, +250, +255. Not bad. That's a winnable game.
I am also taking Philadelphia. I believe Tampa Bay is the most likely to lose outright of those group teams. Mikey?
There's only three, right?
There was four.
Oh, Chiefs, you can include the Chiefs.
I said the Chiefs.
Yeah, okay.
I got to pay attention.
Colts.
The Colts can lose.
I said Colts.
He said Colts.
Yeah.
What about you, Todd?
I think the Colts can lose, too. I'm with Mikey on that one. I mean, the Colts are nothing. I mean, they played really well Monday night.
You're right.
What'd you say?
Yeah, you're right. They're a 1-4 team. It's not like they're tearing it up.
And they beat the Dolphins.
And I've got them in Survivors. Yeah. And I've got them in Survivors, so you know it's going to be tight.
Well, it will be. We'll have a chance with the Texans.
Of course. All right, final question. We have byes this week, by the way. Four teams are on byes, so we do have 14 games. Let's say you lived in a bizarre world where you were forced to bet all of them but one. 13 of the 14 you must make a play on, but one you want no part of on the side whatsoever. Ace, what is the game you want no part of?
Ooh, I told you I like this board, so it's difficult to call them out. But honestly, it probably would be the Chargers-Ravens game. That's more one I want to see both these teams play this game than get involved in it. It's around that key number of three. It's just where I have it rated, it's right on the number. I just don't see much value either way. Maybe if you could lay 2.5 or get 3.5, you could say you have a good ticket in your pocket. But it's just one of those stay away for me.
Todd.
I mean, in the game, I like Baltimore, but again, not I wouldn't bet it.
Todd.
The Raiders game, I don't want any part of the Raiders.
That's mine.
We're all in agreement.
Good call.
I mean, what? What in the world?
Yeah.
What in the world is going on over there? I mean, I know there's emails. I mean, some emails I just came to light about Mike Palm, and that's why I want to try to get him knocked off odds on or the nuts. I think he should be thrown out of there and Circa as the operations manager because he called me a fat Jew one time. And no, I'm just kidding. He would never call me that. But I don't know what's going on in that
You're
Raiders locker room. Who knows?
What'd you say, anymore? What'd you say, You're not Mike? Fat anymore.
Oh, yeah. I'm nor a Jew anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? I did the math. I should have lost 43 pounds this summer playing tennis, but instead have gained one because I've eaten too many calories. Man. Even though I've been playing tennis every day, I'm a big fat chaser, and I've gone from 269 to 270. Very bad job by me.
That's all right. You're better than you were. You and I also, Raiders Denver. I want
Who knows?
No part of it.
Who knows? Who knows what's going
to
happen?
We got to run because Mikey's got a show to do. Ace, love you, man. Great that you were
able to do
this.
Love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you, Ace.
Mine. Buy Bitcoin before it's too late.
Ace, what's your Twitter?
Follow or fade, I hope you make money.
Thank you, Ace.
Your Twitter? Because I want to talk shit if my overs happen.
@Greek_gambler. Yeah, you too. So please, so I can follow back, do that. @Greek_gambler, please, Todd.
@Greek_gambler?
Yes.
Yes, please.
For Ace, Vegas Runner. For Todd Wishnev, for Mikey Palm. Gil Alexander, thanks for listening. Appreciate everybody listening to the Megapod this year. Record numbers. We appreciate it greatly. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck with all your bets week 6 in the National Football League.